program transcribed earlier from the Mutual Eastern Network for presentation at this time.
Laugh a while, let a song be your style, use Fitch shampoo. Don't despair, use your head, save your hair, use Fitch shampoo.
The F.W. Fitch Company, makers of Fitch's saponified coconut oil shampoo and Fitch's ideal hair tonic, proudly presents radio's famous home folks, Vic and Sade. Sir, it's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mrs. Victor Gook, her 14-year-old son Rush, and her amiable Uncle Fletcher. It is a pleasant summer afternoon, and our friends are taking things easy. Sade languidly darns gentlemen's socks in the easy chair. Rush is making a feint at mending a seam on his indoor baseball. And Uncle Fletcher, completely relaxed, lounges on the davenport and holds forth discursively about this, that, and the other thing. Listen.
Martin Jordle left Rochelle, Illinois in 1902. Gave up the chewing gum habit in favor of sleeve garters. Married a woman 15 years old. Formally repudiated the existence of the automobile in 1909. Shot his uncle by mistake. And in 1911, gave up the use of salt and pepper on his victuals, as well as ketchup, mace, clove, and allspice.
Quite a fella.
You asleep, Rush, honey?
No.
Good. Never go to sleep.
This is the kind of an afternoon where I'd just as soon go to sleep.
Never go to sleep. Never go to sleep. That's a little piece of advice I picked up from F. Elrod Geesherly that was indirectly related to President William McKinley. He took me by the hand one afternoon there in Moberly, Missouri, while we were waiting on the railroad station platform for the St. Louis train, and he said, never go to sleep. I've never forgotten that.
Well, what did he mean?
Yes.
Under what kind of circumstances did he advise you not to go to sleep?
I explained the circumstances. We were standing on the railroad station platform.
Yes, I know. But when this man advised you never to go to sleep, what did he have in mind?
He had in mind the modern Ohio plow horse, a breed which has improved by leaps and bounds during the last 50 years.
I see.
Life is a curious thing.
Yeah.
Life is a curious thing, and the advice of F. Elrod Geesherly teaches us a lesson.
Yes, indeed.
You feel that it teaches us a lesson, Sadie Huddy?
Mm-hmm.
What lesson does it teach us? What lesson does it teach us?
Oh, yes, Uncle Fletcher, I don't know.
I don't know myself, my dear.
Leave, I'll scratch my back.
That is pretty much your business.
No, I guess I won't either.
Oh.
Decisions like that are difficult to arrive at in warm weather.
Quite a mental strain, I guess, to make up your mind to scratch your back or not.
I agree.
Speaking of F. Elrod Geesherly, he once run for coroner of Moberly, Missouri.
Oh, really?
He ran for coroner and he got beat.
Well.
He ran for sheriff and got beat.
Gee.
F. Elrod Geesherly had one great big ambition in life.
What was that?
To run for mayor and got beat.
Imagine.
F. Elrod Geesherly realized that ambition. Rush, what did he do?
He run for mayor and got beat.
He run for mayor and got beat.
Yeah, you certainly know a lot of interesting people, Uncle Fletcher.
The interesting people I know, you couldn't crowd into the lobby of the Bright Kentucky Hotel.
Uh-huh.
We all scratch my back after all.
Oh, ish, Rush, you sound like a simpleton.
Well, various dear old chums of mine entertain the notion I am a simpleton.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't brag about that.
I'm not thin-skinned.
No. Certainly is a quiet, sleepy afternoon.
And then there was Virgil K. McSneet of Wabash, Kansas.
Every time you say that, Mom, it stops being a quiet, sleepy afternoon. Something happens.
Yeah.
Virgil K. McSneet married a woman 38 years old, hit her on the head with a straw suitcase in disgust, poked her father a Cincinnati sidearm uppercut alongside the jaw, put his left shoe on his right foot and right shoe on his left foot, and held a gang of section men at bay with a 2x4 plank while he buried a flitch of bacon and a firkin of lard in a moist skirt.
Goodbye, George.
Hi. Can't be more than 2 o'clock, is it?
No. We're in the living room, Gov.
What's the discussion here?
Vic just come in the kitchen door.
No.
Have I got company, have you?
Uncle Fletcher's here.
Not playing truant from the office, Vic, honey, on this warm afternoon? Speaking of playing truant from the office, I had this friend of mine from Grand Forks, North Dakota, that never failed.
Well, what do you know? All my loved ones in a single throng. Greetings, Uncle Fletcher, old pal. Sadie, honey, if I wasn't so busy, I'd give you a kiss. Rush, you're the pride of my heart and the flower of my old age.
What you got in the bundle?
I anticipated you, little eh, Sadie?
Is that,
oh, that close? I anticipated you twice.
Oh, ish.
And still another time.
What kind of dialogue is this?
Search me.
I heard some rather feverish dialogue one time when Ernie Snappy there in DeKalb accidentally run his coal wagon over Mrs. George Eucherman's foot. Mrs. George Eucherman was a perfect lady and all that, but till this day, the different sports love to describe her.
Excuse me, Uncle Fletcher, but my wife is burning up with curiosity. Yes, kiddo, there are clothes in this bundle.
Why are you home from the office at 2 o'clock in the afternoon?
I'll explain that, and these clothes, and one or two other things. Rush, go down cellar.
No.
You defy Papa?
Yes.
Good.
Vic, honey, the hot rays of the sun hasn't penetrated through your skull, are they?
Uncle Fletcher, honey, you are intransigent, flaccid, rococo, and anti-disestablishmentarianistic.
Yes, I know. In fact, some of the young ladies back in Dixon years ago roasted me on them qualities. I never complained. If they coaxed me for a lock, smile, or snippet of my hair, I'd give it to them with an easy smile and casual belly laugh.
Oh, you're a big man, Uncle Fletcher. In fact, you're the golden soul of the buttercup.
That's right.
Well, what is all this? Whose clothes are those? What's up? Something's up. It's written all over your face.
I have here a policeman's uniform.
Really, Gov?
I have here a policeman's uniform, and I'm going to put it on.
Let's see it.
Are you expecting company this afternoon, Sage?
No.
The day spreads out tranquilly like smooth, glassy waters without tryst, rendezvous, or commitment?
Get to the point.
You're out of sorts and peevish?
No, only this sounds like new craziness.
It's the kind of thing which I knew from experience you're apt to view in the light of craziness.
Oh, my.
You people will probably be interested in the...
Hold it a minute, Uncle Fletcher.
Why?
That's a policeman's uniform you got there?
It is.
You're going to put it on?
I am.
You've quit your job and joined the police force?
We might as well go through with the childish play acting, I expect. Yes, I've quit my job and joined the police force.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I have also sent in an order for 2 locomotives and a dirigible balloon.
Uh-huh.
I try out for third base with the Denver, Colorado baseball team next Friday. I'm marrying a Miss Lucille Skulkerfield on August 1st.
That's dandy.
Now, do you want to listen to the facts?
Please.
Speaking of young ladies coaxing me for a lock, smile, or snippet of my hair, I'll never forget a certain Miss Dorothy Hoogle there in Andersonville, Kentucky.
Hold it another minute, Uncle Fletcher.
Yep.
All right, Vic.
Chief of Police William Cullerson will be here in a few minutes. He's going to use our living room for police headquarters a little while this afternoon. His office is being torn up by plasters and paper hangers. There's so much noise and din and confusion that he can't work. Well, I met him when I dropped in the little tiny petite pheasant feather tea shoppy for a sandwich. He just about decided to go fishing, but he'd had a batch of telegrams saying from some famous crook called Courtney Van Cortland, the cunning culprit from Covington, Kentucky, was loose in the vicinity. So he figured he'd better stick around. I suggested he come here. He said fine.
Hey,
so
you're talking too fast, Vic. You're excited. Slow down.
This is the kind of business you generally object to, is the reason that I'm excited.
Well, let's begin again and take it easy.
Who's the famous crook that's loose in the vicinity, Gov?
Courtney Van Cortland, the cunning culprit from Covington, Kentucky.
Say, he sounds like a high-class desperado.
He's also known as the intrepid evildoer of El Dorado, Arkansas.
Say, boy.
Let's begin again, Vic, and take it easy. The chief of police is coming here?
Yes.
When?
He's due this minute.
Why is he coming here?
Because the plasters and paper hangers are redecorating the city hall and his office is in an uproar.
He's going to use our living room for an office?
Well, only for an hour or so, just to receive his telephone calls. He would have slipped off and gone fishing, only he thought he'd better stick around on account of Ronald Rodman, the ruthless ruffian from Radford, Rhode Island.
Well, who's he?
Same character under a different alias.
By George, he is a catbird, no mistake.
You met the chief of police in a restaurant.
Yeah, the tiny petite pheasant feather tea shop. We both dropped in for a sandwich.
I see.
Anything wrong with that?
No.
Chief Cullerson is a pal of mine. I wanted to help him out.
Of course.
You choose to look enigmatic, Sade.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're just awful sorry.
So my living room is to be turned into a police station, huh?
I knew you'd put it that way.
Is there another way of putting it?
Chief Cullerson is just going to sit here quiet on the Davenport and take his telephone calls. Won't be any string of criminals parading in and out. He's just going to sit here quiet on the Davenport and take his telephone call and be available for any information concerning this famous bad man, Irving Isherwood, the injurious ingrate from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Is that the same fellow, Doug?
Yeah, he's known under a variety of names.
The young ladies used to roast me a good deal with affectionate handles that caused general laughter.
Now, is that so, Uncle Fletcher? And you're going to wear a policeman's suit?
Chief Cullerson has been kind enough to deputize me.
Oh, my.
I can arrest people.
Don't bother looking at me.
I got this star and this billy club and these pants with the stripes down the side and the policeman cap, and I can arrest people.
You'll enjoy that, Vic, honey.
Yes, Vic, honey, you'll enjoy that.
Oh, you think this is childish, do you?
Not at all. It's very grown up and smart. My husband comes home from the office in the middle of the afternoon yelling and gibbering that he's turned the living room into a police station. He's got a uniform and a star and a cap with an isinglass peak on it, and he struts around and
hello,
I...
Hello, Vihar. You in there?
Here he is, Gov, the chief of police. He's in the kitchen.
Oh, hello, chief. Come on in, chief. I'm in the living room, chief.
It's the chief.
Fine.
We're waiting for you, chief.
Who's this?
Chief of police.
I got something in my tooth.
Hey, Uncle Fletcher. I can arrest you if I want it.
Go away.
No, but I can.
Go away, Vic. Can you leave loose of my coat collar?
Fletcher, you spalpeen. I'm after arresting the likes of you in the name of the law.
Got an Irish cop, by George.
Yeah.
Fletcher, you murdering jailbird and bejabers that's after throwing you in prison, I am.
Oh. Leave loose.
Good afternoon. What's all this?
Well, good afternoon, Chief Cullerson. Come in. Sit down.
When going on picnics, it's a good thing to know about poison ivy and no trespassing signs. It's a good thing to know, too, that when your hair becomes dry and harsh-looking as a result of too much exposure to the sun and winds on those picnics, that you can make it soft and bright again with Fitch's Saponified Coconut Oil Shampoo. You see, Fitch's Saponified Shampoo is made from mild coconut and pure vegetable oils. These gentle oils are kind to your hair, making it soft and manageable again, even immediately after shampooing. Fitch's Saponified Shampoo makes loads of cleansing lather that floats away the dust, oily film, and scalp odors from your hair, leaves it ever so clean and fragrant. This rich lather rinses out in a jiffy, too, because Fitch's Saponified Coconut Oil Shampoo contains a special patented rinsing agent right in the shampoo. Leaves your hair with a gleaming, natural radiance and so easy to arrange. For your summer hair grooming, always ask for Fitch's Saponified. That's spelled S-A-P-O-N-I-F-I-E-D. Fitch's Saponified Coconut Oil Shampoo. Now, back again, we go to the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block. Vic has donned his deputy policeman's uniform and is standing proudly beside the bookcase. Sade and young Rush are seated on the Davenport, listening and watching. Chief Cullerson occupies the place of honor at the library table, and Uncle Fletcher, in Vic's easy chair, is engaged in his favorite pastime of monopolizing the conversation.
Cobden L. McQuirch invented a vinegar bottle that you buttoned with a button instead of stoppering with a stopper. He married a woman 19 years old, deserted the powdered rabbit business in favor of the sleeved elbow wrench business, painted his entire house and barn without the use of either paint or paintbrush, and later died.
Quite a feller.
There was never another like him on the face of the earth. And this was Mervyn J. Welchwood, It will take me 1 hour and 45 minutes to completely describe Mervyn J. Welchwood.
Well, go ahead.
Uncle Fletcher, I think Chief Cullerson has something to say.
Fine. First of all, Mervyn L. Welchwood refused all drinking water that hadn't come from some stream flowing out of Idaho.
What did you start to say, Mr. Cullerson?
Oh, only that I feel this is something of an intrusion. I bumped into your husband in that little restaurant there on Center Street, and he was obliging enough to invite me to spend an hour or so here in your home. Take any telephone calls that might be transferred from the city hall.
Uh-huh.
Is anybody listening to me tell about Mervyn L. Welchwood?
I don't think so, Uncle Fletcher.
Fine.
If it hadn't been for this desperado that's loose, I'd have taken the afternoon off and gone up the Mackinac River near Carlock there and tried to catch a few catfish.
Uh-huh.
He's a real tough guy, ain't he, Chief?
So-so, I guess.
Prentice Piggles, the purloining pickpocket from Pittston, Pennsylvania.
Is that another one of his aliases, Gov?
Yeah.
And he gives himself those fancy names, V.R. Actually, on the record, he's simply Pete McFunker, Cheap Crook.
And I prefer the more colorful titles. Newland Nettleton, the Nooner Nevada Nemo of Nuttiness. Sounds a lot better than Pete McFunker, Cheap Crook.
Yeah, I guess it does. No, Mrs. Cook, but as I was saying, I don't like to intrude into your home this way. I suppose V.R. told you the plasters and paper hangers have got my office in shambles.
Yes, he mentioned it.
If it hadn't been for that, I wouldn't have taken advantage.
Telephone's ringing, telephone's ringing.
Oh, I'll get it.
I believe the telephone is ringing.
Shall I use my Irish dialect, Chief?
How you mean?
Faith and be jabers, the top of the morning to ye, Mrs. Casey, and what is the matter with your old man?
Talking to me, V.R.?
Sure.
What in thunder are you saying?
Yesterday afternoon, I'm sitting in the park, Begorra, and some spalpeen, he comes up to me and he says, and when did old Ireland produce the likes of you, me fine lad?
I don't get it.
Answer the telephone, Rush.
Okay.
Don't touch that telephone, Rush. It's probably official police business.
Okay.
Well, are you just going to let the telephone ring?
Chief Cullerson, shall I use my dialect? Shall I talk like an Irish officer?
Old thunder.
Well, shall I?
I don't care.
Maybe I better just use my normal manner of speaking.
Suit yourself.
Yeah, I'll just use my normal manner of speaking.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
Telephone's quit ringing now.
Yeah.
I'll just use my normal manner of speaking.
You'll enjoy that.
Hello?
Party's probably hung up.
Hello?
Yeah, they hung up.
Hello?
Say hello in Irish.
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
I believe the party's hung up.
Certainly odd that they should have hung up.
Quite mysterious.
Maybe it was Sheldon Slunk, the snarling sneak from Sibley, South Dakota.
Quite mysterious that was.
Is my daughter Florence in there? Florence!
Listen.
Mr. Sprawl, I think.
Hello, is that you, Mr. Sprawl?
I'm hunting for my daughter Florence.
Oh, she's not here, Mr. Sprawl, but come on in anyway.
Yes.
Oh, we'll just clutter up the police headquarters.
Oh, Landsbeck, what a thing to say. Police headquarters.
Who's this coming in, you say?
An elderly gentleman from across the alley, Mr. Sprawl.
He's on deck, huh?
Yes, and you be nice to him.
I'm nice to the different ones. What was it the poet Harry McSplant said about the rendering of lard?
I don't know. Come on in, Mr. Sprawl.
I have to stop a minute and fix my shawl and bonnet that's slipping off.
I have to stop a minute and fix my shawl and bonnet that's slipping off.
We heard him.
The poet Harry McSplant said something about the rendering of lard, which has a very close connection with this matter. Are you familiar with the poet Harry McSplant, Cullerson?
No, I'm not.
You've never been in Central Illinois?
I'm in Central Illinois now. Lived in Central Illinois all my life.
That's funny.
Yeah, I laugh at it all day long.
Yes, indeed.
My daughter Florence ain't over home. I went down to the grocery store to get me some of them peanuts with the chocolate smeared on outsides, and what's the matter here?
Well, not a thing, Mr. Sprawl.
I ain't done nothing.
Oh, don't be frightened, Mr. Sprawl. There's nothing wrong.
I mind my own business.
Sure you do. Mr. Sprawl, I want you to...
I ain't committed no crime.
He's going to crawl under the Davenport.
No, Mr. Sprawl. Listen now.
I'm going to crawl under the Davenport.
Grab him, Beck.
Yes, Ricky.
No.
He's scared of me.
I ain't committed no crime.
Shall I give him a little of my Irish dialect?
Oh, get away. I'll handle this.
I'll give him some of my Swedish dialect.
Get away, I said.
He's scared.
Sitting here, cool and comfortable and relaxed, makes me think of
Mr.
time.
Mrs. Grawl, stop trembling. I'll see that no harm comes to you. This isn't any policeman. This is Mr. Gore.
Yeah, I behave myself. I obey the law.
Sure you do. Look close at this policeman. See? It's Mr. Gook.
Faith and begorrieth, after tossing the likes of you in prison, I am, ye spalpeen.
No! No, go away!
Talking the Irish language wasn't wise. I don't believe they can.
Talking the Irish language was real smart. Vic, why don't you use your head?
Well, Thunder, I was only trying to put him at his ease.
I want to go home. I don't want to go to jail.
Oh, Mr. Sprawl, let me introduce you to Mr. Cullerson.
How do you do, sir?
I spilled all my peanuts with the chocolate smeared on the outsides.
Well, Rush will pick them up for you.
Sure thing.
Mr. Sprawl, let me introduce you to Mr. Cullerson.
I want to go home.
Mr. Cullerson is the chief of police.
No!
There ain't nobody going to murder you, Sprawl.
Murder me, you say?
Oh, the heck with it.
I want to go home.
Yes, maybe that would be the best thing. Sure, you run along home.
A different policeman going to chase me?
The policemen will stay right where they are.
I'll go home now.
Yes.
Well, I haven't got all your chocolate-coated peanuts picked up yet.
Never mind. Goodbye, Mr. Sprawl.
Bye.
It was just awful nice of you to drop in.
Thank you very much. I had a pleasant time.
Uh-huh.
I enjoyed myself very much.
Well, that's good.
I enjoyed myself very much, but now I'm going home.
Be sure and come back again soon for another visit.
Yes, indeed.
I'm pleased to have met you, sir.
The ecstasy was all mine.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, Mr. Strong.
Bye.
That was a fine thing.
Well, you needn't glare at me like I just massacred 80 people, say.
You and your policeman's uniform.
I'm the one that's at fault, Mrs. Gook. It didn't occur to me that it'd be a pretty intrusive thing to turn a lady's living room into a temporary police station. It didn't occur to me.
Oh, ish, Mr. Cullerson. If it hadn't been this, it would have been something else.
Meaning that I'm a fathead, I expect.
You and your policeman suit. Serve you right if Mr. Sprawl never spoke to you again.
I'll tell you people what the poet Harry McSplant said about the rendering of lard. Harry
McSplant
said...
Drop on, Dringan.
I believe that was a telephone.
Official police business. I'll get it.
Yeah, you get it. Yeah.
Somebody might have a clue as to the whereabouts of Harrison Hope, the heedless hoodlum of Harrisburg, Ohio.
Same fellow, Mr. Cullerson?
Yes, sir.
Hello? And who is it, please? This is headquarters. State your business.
Beautiful hair has generally been thought of merely as something lovely to look at. Now Fitch's saponified coconut oil shampoo adds another dimension to the charm of lovely hair, and that is fragrance. Fitch's saponified coconut oil shampoo, a lovely golden green liquid, is transformed into swirls of creamy rich lather when you apply it to your hair. This lather gently cleanses the hair of dust, oily film, and unpleasant scalp odors which are so likely to cling to the hair in the summertime. In addition, it imparts a delicate, clean fragrance of its own. Then when you rinse with clear water, you'll find the lather disappears quickly and completely. That's because Fitch's saponified coconut oil shampoo contains its own special patented rinsing agent. This rinsing agent enables your hair to be really sparkling clean, shining with natural color highlights. And in addition, your hair will be sweetly fragrant. Ask for Fitch's saponified coconut oil shampoo at your drug or toilet goods counter, or have a professional application at your barber or beauty shop. Back again now to Vic and Sade.
The poet Harry McSplanch left Fiendish, Indiana to go to Dismal Seepage, Ohio. He left Dismal Seepage, Ohio to go to Sweet Esther, Wisconsin. He settled down permanent in Sweet Esther, Wisconsin, married a woman 20 years old, and later died.
You have the widest variety of pals I ever heard of.
You couldn't crowd all my pals in the stockyards there in Chicago. If you took every hog pen in that great city and jammed it cram slam full of my chums...
Stop wandering in.
Official police business. I'll get it.
I'll get it.
What do you mean?
My friends at call up have been startled enough by you and your police business and Irish talk-and-talk. One side. Hello? Yes? Why, yes, he Just one second. Uncle Fletcher, for you.
For me?
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to kiss no woman.
What are you talking about?
I positively refuse to kiss some darn woman.
Well, who said anything about that?
Collarson here.
Why, I didn't either.
I thought I understood you to request me to step to the telephone and kiss some half-wit woman.
Thunder, no.
Well, anyway, this ain't any woman, it's a man. I believe it's Rishigan Fishigan from Sishigan, Michigan.
Well, in that case, Sadie, honey, you may hand me the receiver. I'm always glad to communicate with Rishigan Fishigan from Sishigan, Michigan, but I make a determined stand never to range up to the lame brain telephone and kiss some fat-headed woman. Hello!
Never open a trap about his kissing any woman.
Yeah.
Hello, Fish. All right, Fish. Goodbye, Fish.
Short conversation.
Yes, indeed. No, but getting back to the poet Harry McSplanch, a good many of the different ones consider Harry a little bats in the belfry. That's a slang expression. I believe the slang expression bats in the belfry was coined in either 1909 or 1910.
I forgot my shawl.
I believe this is our elderly friend from across the alley back with us.
Yeah.
I forgot my shawl and I forgot my peanuts with the chocolate smeared on the outside.
Must have recovered his nerve.
Yeah.
I got a fellow with me.
What? I got a fellow with me.
Maybe he's rounded up his gang and plans to clean up by next.
That's about all we'd need for this particular afternoon.
I forgot my shawl and my peanuts with the chocolate smeared on the outsides, and I got this fellow with me.
Another hilariously funny thing about the poet Harry McSplanch, he always refused...
Well, how do you do, sir?
How do you do, ma'am?
Anything I can do for you?
Well, I met this old geezer outside. He said there was a couple of coppers in here.
Yes, indeed, and that's right, Begorra.
Are you the chief of police?
No.
I am. Oh, well, I'm your baby. Everybody's after me so hot and heavy that I decided to give myself up and save a lot of bother.
Yeah, and who are you?
Well, some people call me Milton Mulberry, the mischief monarch from Malden, Massachusetts.
Hey, Courtney Van Cortland, the cunning culprit from Covington, Kentucky?
I'm him, too.
Isaac Inkerson, the intrepid evildoer from El Dorado, Arkansas?
Yeah, in person.
Really, though, you're Pete McPunker, is that right?
That's right.
And you're giving yourself up?
If you don't mind too much.
By George, stuff happens.
Mr. Sproul, if there's a reward for this man, you're the lad that'll receive it.
I like them peanuts with the chocolate smeared on the outside.
Yeah, I like it myself.
Them peanuts with the chocolate smeared on the outside is good.
Vic, I think we'd better take this Hey, Vic, where'd you go? Where'd he go?
Vic!
Yes, Dave.
Come down from there. Climb down off of that bookcase.
And so we end our visit at the small house halfway up in the next block with Radio's home folks, Vic and Sades. Listen again next Thursday, same time, same station, when the F.W. Fitch Company again presents Vic and Sades. Vic and Sades is written by Paul Reimer, directed by Roy Windsor. This is Jack Fuller speaking.
Laugh a while, let a song be your style, use Fitch shampoo. Don't despair, use your head, save your hair, use Fitch shampoo.
After and between Fitch shampoos, you can keep your hair shining and manageable by using a few drops of Fitch's Ideal Hair Tonic every day. Fitch's Ideal Hair Tonic is not sticky or greasy, yet it gives your hair that well-groomed look. This program was transcribed earlier from Mutual. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.